You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Sorry to break this to you, Ryan, but I'm a DMP. I'm a DMP this week, bro.
You out, bro?
Just fall in the lead, bro. Our official week two New Orleans Saints at Carolina Panthers. Podcast previewing the game on Sunday, and let's just dive right into it. The Saints are hurt, bruh.
Yeah, man, it's like it's what probably like after coming out with such a great win, like a great start to the season. It's probably had one of the worst weeks in the NFL, bro. Like
worst. So I saw it today and I was just like, oh, and I texted it to you, bro, and I tweeted it, but I said, Quan Alexander being hurt the same week that Pete Warner, who they invested 60 overall pick, like, what did he do to get hurt, right? Like, was it special teams? Like,
I don't know, man. Like, what the?
So I'll start with this in terms of the preview, and I guess this is – I'm starting with the Saints defense going against Carolina offense. This – like, we've talked about how they got linebackers now and all that. Bro, like, in terms of matchups, like, this is, like, Zach Bond's hashtag bonfire. This is his thesis, bro. This is a doctorate. Yeah.
No, man, that'd be a good matchup for him.
It, like, I would imagine Dennis Allen in most situations would try to have DeMario going against Christian McCaffrey if he's running like these angle routes and everything. Yeah. And then you put, you know, Bond maybe like on a, you know, the tight end or whatever. But like, they're just, you know, formationally, like, they're going against Joe Brady. Joe Brady comes from the Saints. He's going to do something formationally where that's going to try to, my guess would be, exploit Zach Bond. And yeah, he's going to have to be up to the task, man.
Yeah, man. Like, it's going to be interesting. That's what I've been thinking about all week. Like, how are they going to use CMC? Everybody's like, oh, CMC, Saints done good with him in the past. Like, look, he barely played us last year. With the new offensive coordinator, you know, and he's getting his touches. Like, there's no question about it. He got, what, 30 touches last week? Oh,
30,
and
bro.
30, bro. Like, so that ain't going to stop. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, well, Saints defense is great. And I agree. Like, I've been tooting the Saints defense on more than anybody. But all it takes is, like, two or three plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, a missed ankle tackle and CMC going to cook your ass. You know what I'm saying? So he's going to get his targets. He's going to get his targets over the middle and flats, downfield, and in the run game and in the screen game. So it's like – P's and Q's all day, bro. Like,
all day.
Saints defense gonna have to be on it.
Completely. And I would feel more confident about this game if, like, all these just these rash of injuries, bro. Like,
man,
I will. So there is a small, like, you know, Chauncey was limited yesterday. Today he was a DNP. So this pod's gonna be released before the Friday injury report. So we don't know if Chauncey's gonna practice on Friday. So the fact that Marshon Lattimore practice on a limited basis today, if he's able to play, and it's it's intriguing, because then they could roll out, instead of it being like, let's say Chauncey is out and Marshawn's out, so then you, at your on your boundary, you're gonna be starting Bradley Roby and Paulson Adebo, and then you're gonna have PJ in the slot. But if Marshon is able to play, I would imagine the plan would be Marshon and Adebo on the outside,
right,
and Bradley Roby in the slot, because if you go back to when Bradley Roby was the Broncos, he manned the slot so much because he was playing with, well, Chris Harris. Well, sometimes he played in the slot, sometimes he played with outside, but he had Chris Harris and Aqib Talib. So
right, he was really good in the slot too.
He really good in the slot. So he's not foreign to that position. If somehow Marshon is able to play, a pain management thing, he plays, what have you, that completely eases some of the things in terms of the concerns on defense. But honestly, this is going to sound repetitive because this is going to sound like every fucking podcast we do, especially with the preview episodes. The Saints defensive line, and I know two first, ain't going to play, shoulder, pack, whatever, but if you just look on paper at the Panthers' offensive line, on paper, you look at them, the Saints' front six, Cam, we got to see what Peyton Turner, who first can do. Like, they got to make some noise in this game because you're down two first. And I know this is a game that DA feels like he probably is going to have to cook up Sam Darnold with some blitzes. Right.
And I agree with it too.
Yeah. To get that clock moving faster for him and just put him in pressure, get him feeling like the whole ghost situation. But it's really going to be a game where the Saints defensively, especially defensive line, has to get the advantage over Carolina's offensive line.
No, absolutely. I think that's going to be, like, you know, key to the game. I mean, obviously, every key to the game is to get pressure on the quarterback. But I think in this game, if you can get Sam Darnold kind of speeding up his mechanics and speeding up the clock in his head, you know, things can go bad really quick for him. And, you know, start nipping at his confidence a little bit. Because I was looking at him, I went back and watched some of the game last week against the Jets, and he was making some nice throws, man. Like, and that's never been a problem with Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold could throw the ball. That's never been a problem. And he made, like, a lot of nice throws. So, you know, I think a lot of Saints fans, like, oh, Sam Darnold, garbage. I'm like, yeah, like, I get why you feel that way. And, possibly he is. But, you know, he was a number two overall draft pick, just like, you know, Jameis was number one overall draft pick. So it's not like they're not talented. You know, they're just kind of similar in some ways, and they just bad situations, and they kind of muck things up themselves. So, you know, he's trying to get a second life in his career, and you know, so far so good for him. You know, but like you said,
it's a great line. It's a great point. Like, this is the battle of, like, reclamation, like, quarterback reclamation
projects, man. Like,
yeah.
No, it really is, man. But like you said, that offensive line.
Like, let me. I pulled it up before we started recording. I'm gonna read the Panthers' offensive starting line to you. Okay, Cameron Irving at left tackle, Pat Elflein, left guard, Matt Paradis at center, John Miller, who just got off the COVID list, I believe it was this week, at right guard, and Taylor Moten, who probably is their best offensive lineman, at right tackle. Like, It's easy for me to say, like, the Saints, like, defensively, especially the defensive line, should win this matchup. But Cam, who had a great game against the Packers, you know, getting the mojo back, he got to still show out. And Ryan, I'm saying it right now on this podcast. If those inactives come out, and who first is inactive?
Bruh. You like, will. Like, okay, if it was just Davenport out, then it's like, it'll still be absurd, but it'll be, you know, like level one, like level two absurd. But like if Tano out and Davenport and who first still out, like that's a problem. Like that's a problem. Like
Sean Terrell got to ask him.
Cat Terrell got to be the first one to ask that question in Song on Slammer, but she got to ask that question as soon as she can. Like, why was Peyton Turner inactive? I need to know. Like, what the
fuck? We got to know. Like, you invest the first-round pick into an edge, and he's not on the injury report. He's full practice. Yep. He got to play, bro. He got to play on Sunday. And
not even start. Just play. Not even start.
Yeah, but, like, with Tano and two first being out, like, I think his role may have to be a little more than what they maybe envisioned,
mm-hmm.
you know, easing him in, which I don't know why I have to ease in or whatever. So getting back to the Panthers offense, the Panthers weapons at right receiver present different challenges than like a team like the Packers. So with a team like the Packers, your primary concern is not to let Davante Adams cook you, right? Like he's the focus. And then like you worry about the others, you know, you worry about MVS, you worry about, you know, the other wide receivers, but that's your primary focus.
Right. You can manage those.
With the Panthers, a lot of their receivers are interchangeable.
Yeah.
In what they do. To me, the key though, and I think it was pretty obvious to me even last season, is people really want DJ Moore to be the guy. Like they want him to be a wide receiver one. Like I think he is consistently shown you he is a really good wide receiver too.
Yeah.
But I would say the focus needs to be on shutting Robbie Anderson down. Like he's the guy.
He's the game breaker. Sam Donner already, you know, had a chemistry with him coming from the Jets. You know, it just makes too much sense. Saw the big play last week and they're gonna do more of those, man. Like that's the game killer right there. Like Robbie Anderson, you don't want him just getting downfield on you. Like whatever the plan has to be, whether it's too deep, how the Saints like to do, or whatever, they just need to put a mud on him. I would assume if Marshon Lattimore did play, that's who he'd be on. I don't remember who Marshon was on last year. Was he on DJ Moore?
So I remember, the year we played the Jets in 2018, in New Jersey, Marshon was on Robbie Anderson. Like he traveled him. He shut him down. Last year, I believe it was like the first game. I remember seeing a lot of CeeDee on Robbie Anderson because they were putting him in the slot, and I was getting frustrated. I was like, oh my, like, yeah. I love CeeDee, but like, that is not the matchup for him. So I don't know how, you know, what their plan is going to be in terms of that. But.
And look, this is the Joe Brady offense, so they move him around. It's not like, you know, so you're going to see Rob Anderson in the slot. You're going to see him out, you know, out of the X. You're going to see out of the Y. You're going to see him all over the, you know, formation. Same for DJ Moore. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, everybody's going to have to step up. And, you know, just pick your poison. You know, if Rob Anderson has 5 catches for, you know, 60, that's a good game to me. You know, right. Like 60, 70 yards, like that's a good game. But, you know, if you let him, you start letting him get behind you, man, like those are the backbreakers.
It is. You know, speaking of, so this is a game on three players, right? Storylines. We talked about the J.C. Horn thing a couple of days ago.
Where are we going?
Terrace Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to draft him at 60.
He was ready.
And
he was ready.
Carolina knew it. And instead of maybe trading up to getting their guy, we got Pete Warner, who's not playing on Sunday. But don't forget about your boy, Dan Arnold. You know he cut in a touchdown on Sunday. You know he cut.
Dan Arnold getting a touchdown. Fuck it. Write the shit down. Man. Draft him in your fantasy league if you don't have him. Like, go and grab him. Go grab him off a waiver wire or something. Like, he getting a touchdown. He is.
Guaranteed, bro. Like, when you, like,
and when you catch that motherfucker, it's going to be the best catch ever, too, bro.
Like, it's going to be like the Odell catch, but, like,
it's going to get replayed 10 times. How did Dan Arnold catch that? Just want to fight that dude, bro.
I was driving today, you know, kind of thinking about the game, thinking about, like, the, you know, our preview punter. I was like, oh, shit, Dan Otto plays for the goddamn Panthers. Like, so it's going to happen. It's going to happen, bro. You know it. This is the first time that he's played against the Saints since he was cut.
Oh, man.
If I remember correct, because they haven't played against the Cardinals. When the last time they played the Cardinals, he was still on the team. So this is, the first time he's played against the Saints since he was cut. Yeah, because the Cardinals claimed him on waivers, and then he went to the Panthers. So, anything else about, you know, the Panthers offensively and the Saints defensively that intrigues you?
No, not really, man. It's all about CMC for me. Like, that's the dude, man. Like, he is the dude. They have no quarrels about making him seem like the dude, because he is that dude. Like, he is their AK, you know, and he just got to, you know, he's going to get his touches now. He's going to make some plays, but we just can't let him just be that chain mover, bro. Like, that annoying third and six.
He gets like seven or eight, just keeps eight drives just going.
Like, we just keep, that's the killer. Like, we got to shut that shit down. There's no real easy way to do it, but just play how the Saints have defense has been playing, which is, you know, they rally to the football, the jerseys are around, they've been tackling well. They just need to continue to do that. But like I said, we took some hits, and I don't like the hope of player plays that's injured, you know. But I'm hoping Marshawn plays, man, because he's an underrated tackler. He's, you know, the Saints' run game defense has been pretty good the past couple of years. I'm not saying it has a lot to do with him, but he's been a part of it, you know, because he will disengage off that edge and come and stick
his head. He's a willing tackler.
We're very willing tackler, you know. So, I'm really hoping Marshawn I saw the picture of him. He was at practice today. He had that big old cast on his hand. You know, like, bro, you big money now, bro. Highest paid going back in the league now, boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, go and get that, man. Put that little cast on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, out there, bro, your legs still work, you know? So, but, that's going to be interesting, man. Saints defense versus, because, you know, the Saints defense is trending up. It's looking good.
It is, bro.
But like I was saying on the last pod, you just can't expect it to play out like it played last week, man. Like, Saints fans, everything I was just tweeting through, you know, just some of my thoughts of the Panthers this weekend. Saints fans are all in my midst. Like,
that homerism.
That homerism, bro. It's like, would y'all relax? Like, have y'all not watched Saints games ever? Like, have you never seen the Saints game? Like, when has everything went great every week? Like, ever. Like, stop it. Like, things happen. Like, Jameis going to throw a pick or a fumble at some point. And, you know, the defense is going to get beat at some point and miss a tackle or, you know, blow an assignment or something. Like, this is the NFL, man. It's like, things aren't peach every week. So stop it. Just stop. You know, these are NFL players. Like, these are The Carolina Panthers had some good NFL players. Yes, we've owned them for the most part for the past couple of years. Yes. But, you know, those things change on a dime, man. It doesn't matter. Like, last year we blew them out one game, and one game was, like, decided by a field goal. So, you don't know.
No, you don't. I mean, we won that. We won one of those games last season because Teddy took just an awful fucking sack, bro. Mm-hmm. And they were getting ready to drive down the field, and Teddy just took a two first sack, and and Joey Sly missed that long ass field goal.
Yeah, that's one thing about Matt Rule though. Matt Rule would like punt at the 44. Matt Rule would do some dumb shit sometimes. I'm like, what? Everybody like, oh, Matt Rule is such a good coach. Like, okay, like
you just saying sometimes he coached a little scared.
He coached a little scared, man. And he likes kicking. I'm still waiting to see Matt Rule is a hell of a coach. I'm waiting to see that. Like, I hadn't seen that yet. Like, okay, they've improved slightly. But I mean, it's not like Ron Rivera, I mean, he had the team cooking for years. There's winning division every year for a nice little stretch. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not saying, you know, I'm down on Matt Rule or he's garbage. I'm just saying, I'm waiting to see where, wow, Matt Rule is this dynamic head coach.
Hey,
I ain't really see it yet.
Mark, if you're listening to this, you know.
Mark says loves Matt Rule.
Loves him, bro. Loves him. Let's talk about, let's switch it over. When the Saints are on offense, Carolina's on defense. And I had an epiphany today. And I realized that the Carolina defense is like you have accurately described it as like a sweat equity defense. Like, they gonna make you earn it. And I realized that the Carolina defense is very, like, they're the Saints defense, except take the elite talent away.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to put it.
Like, I was just thinking, and I was like, they don't, like, they have some good people, like, you know, Brian Burns is for sure, like, the guy that you can't let take over a game. And the Saints have one of the, you know, best tackle combinations in the league. But I remember last season, bro, as soon as Teron went out, Drew got rocked on that strip sack by Brian Burns, bro.
Yeah, man. Do not let that. You can't let him beat you. And, you know, Teron will take his little breaks out of game. Oh,
that's all right, bro. You just slide Pete over to the level.
That's one of the annoying tweets you see during the game. Like, every week is like, Teron's on the sideline. It's like, oh, fuck. Then he's bagging the game at some point. It's not okay.
I'm just saying, man. Like, so that was just my analogy I had is just, and this is not me trying to, like, you know, but they're getting players and they're building a defense. They have Brian.
They really are. They really are, man.
They drafted Derek Brown, Shaq Thompson. You know, has been doing this thing for years.
He looked really good last week though.
JC Horn. I was a big fan of Jeremy Chinn when he was a prospect. Like, they're, you know, kind of formulating an identity on defense. Of what they want to be. And that said, and I don't think it's going to be a game either where I guess I'm interested to see how Sean is going to want to attack this defense.
Yeah. Because look, they could be run on. They're not a great run defense, but they're not, you know, they're not a bad run defense either. Shaq Thompson, I mean, look, Alvin Kamara has had his days, even when they had a little kickback, Shaq Thompson there. Like, he's had his ways. I'm interested to see if we see more Alvin Kamara in the passing game. Mm. They showed a lot of the looks against Green Bay, but, you know, he didn't get, like, a super ton of targets. Especially, I want to see him back in a slot, or, you know, I want to see him, like, in running routes. I want to see AK like doing that again and just, you know, see what kind of coverage he gets. Do they put a linebacker? I mean, because if they put a linebacker on, come on now. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who it is. Like, you put a linebacker on AK on a route, okay, I'll take it every time.
Every time. So, every time. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who the linebacker is. I'll take it.
I'll take it. So I want to see Sean Payton kind of attack that, kind of spread those linebackers out, spread the defensive line out a little bit to open up those gaps and just kind of, you know, pick your targets. I don't know much about the cornerbacks. So one of them was hurt recently, but their injury report looks pretty good.
Bro, the injury report looks great.
I mean, it's like, damn.
So they're
Dante Jackson, you know.
Yeah. And Sean has shown in the past, like, this is kind of obviously when Michael Thomas was playing, like, he had no problem going after Dante Jackson. Like,
yeah.
Like, none, bro. But the Panthers did add Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
In free agency.
And they were beating the shit out of Zach Wilson. And I know Jets O-line is, you know, kind of a work in progress, but, you know, they were getting after it. Like, they were getting after it. Hassan Reddick, Derek Brown had a sack. Hassan Reddick, Burns, of course. So they were getting after it, man. This is a D-line that's not like a slouch.
No, and it's one of those deep defensive teams where, as a fan, and I can't imagine it is even as an offensive guru as Sean, like, you may want to just be uber aggressive and, like, you kind of, like, this is a defense that you kind of have to be patient with, right? Like, yeah. Work your way up and down the field, take your shots when you can. And I really think the plan going forward for the season, man, is I think Sean feels that he has a defense in the Saints that is good enough and talented enough to get him to a Super Bowl. And if Jameis can just manage the game from the quarterback position and I can do things with Alvin and we have a stud line.
Which, like, is hilarious, though, when you think
about it. Isn't that evolution James of him Winston, as a head coach? Like
Jameis Winston, game manager. It's like, you know, but Sean Payton, you know what? But I remember you talking about years ago, remember when Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys, they finally put together like a
good
team, just running the ball, and they had, what was his name, their running back?
It was probably Murray.
Yeah, Murray. He had like shitload of yards. Like, And it was ball control, and I remember you were saying, like, that's what Sean Payton wants to build.
And literally, after Dallas had that season, they drafted Pete, bro. Like, I saw it. Like, I saw the vision. Because Sean
was
the vision. It was.
And that's what it became. In, like, 2016, that's pretty much what they were, you know, for the most part. They, you know, Drew Brees managed the ball. He wasn't making turnovers. You know, wasn't as many big plays, but he took the shots when he took. He was running the ball well, played good defense. Like, that's what he wanted to do. And I think this right now, this scenario is his dream scenario.
If it is, man.
Continues to play well, that's his dream scenario. Just keep Jameis. Like, Jameis is locked in, doing whatever coach wants. He's protecting the ball. He's taking the shots when he can. You know, and this is exactly how Sherman was. Now, you could play like that, but games don't unfold like that every week. So that's what I'm kind of interested in seeing is when that doesn't happen. I don't know if this is going to be a week, but the games won't unfold like that
every week. Because at some time, like, you're going to get, like, perfect example is, you know, that 49ers, the last great Drew Brees regular season game, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you at some point, you just got to be the gunslinger and just –
Got to get him. And that was an interesting quote. I remember Troy Aikman said during the broadcast last week, he was like, Sean Payton was saying, like there were times we were completely fine to be in a shootout. Like, we were just like, okay, like, if you want a shootout, let's go. You know, we got Drew Brees, let's go, let's do it. You know, and I'm interested to see if that mentality translates to Jameis Winston too. You know, and what does that look like? What does that shootout Winston look like?
Because to me, like, that's the ultimate trust, like, that a offensive coach can show towards their quarterback, right?
Right.
Because if you're in a shootout, but if you're not ready to put your gunslinger out there because you're just like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got to look at the Saints pass catches, and it's like,
oh boy.
You think Kenny Stills play this week?
I think so, man. I do.
Yeah, me too.
I do. And I'll say this, right? Marquez Callaway more likely will either be going against J.C. Horn, you know, good old SEC matchup, or he may be going against Dante Jackson, who went to LSU, another SEC matchup. But none of those players are Jair Alexander.
Uh-huh.
So at some point, and I don't know if it's going to be week two, but at some point teams are going to get the clue that if we kind of take away Juwan Johnson and like then stuff up the middle, how does this team with the ball? Now, last week against Packers, they just leaned on the Packers defensive line and ran the ball, and they couldn't stop it, bro. Like, they couldn't stop it. Right. I don't know why, but I get a feeling like this could be a game where like Tony Jones Jr. breaks one.
Oh,
because he was close against Green Bay a couple times. Yeah. Bro.
He was close, man.
I get he might be able to break one. But if Saints fans are listening to this podcast, please don't just be thinking like this is just going to be easy walk in the park. Like, this is a divisional game. It's a huge game. Because I might be wrong, but whoever wins this game, I believe that temporarily is going to be sitting number one in the NFC South, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because if you think about it, because the Bucks, it's a divisional matchup. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Because then the Saints in theory would have two wins over the NFC, one being a divisional matchup. The Bucks beat the Cowboys, and then I don't know who they're playing this week, but it's an NFC team, but I believe it's not an NFC South team. So, yeah. Like, it's early, but like the Saints could be top of the NFC South. Position.
Yeah,
you know, winning this game, and it's just injuries, man. It's really injuries, and this I'm going to be really interested to see how Ruiz does at center going against, because more like that, I guess he would probably. I would guess from a snap wise formationally, he's going to see a lot of Derrick Brown.
Yeah.
You know, who I loved him as a prospect. And, you know, this is Reese's time to just shine. Like,
it is.
Absolutely shine, man.
No, man. And the whole offensive line is getting some pop. Everybody looking at him, and like, if they can continue to play how they played against Green Bay, that can carry you really far. So it's going to be interesting how they, you know, kind of how they adjust to different teams. What's his name?
Throckmorton.
Throckmorton. How's he going to handle it? You know what I'm saying? Like, my man Pete, I was laughing. Because I asked the TL, like, just, you know, somebody post that picture of when, you know, Troy Aikman circled everybody gassed on the Green Bay defense. And somebody, you know, posted it. I retweeted it. And it was pointed out that Pete was the only Saints player with his hands on his hips too gassed. I'm like, look at Pete. Of course Pete gassed too, man. Like, Pete thinking about Reds and Canes, like, hey, ain't no Reds and Canes down here. Fucking Pete. But look, I didn't hear Pete name much.
Nope. We didn't. We didn't, bro.
I saw him on the ground a little bit, but I ain't gonna say nothing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like the game plan, and I think Sean should utilize it until a team is able to stop it. Is we're gonna run the ball with AK and Tony Jones Jr.
Do it.
And if you guys can stop it, then we might have to start throwing it a little more. But if a team can't stop it, we're gonna run this shit and just take the air out the ball. Like, why not?
How you feel about Jameis running ability?
Man, you know, Greg Greg was hitting me up just like, man, like that was such a unexpected part of his game, and it was so needed. Like,
Jameis, we've never had that. I mean, of course, we Taysom, like, we've had it, but even with Taysom, like, because Taysom is not a scrambler.
He's not a scrambler, bro. He's not. We talked about this. It adds, I mean, besides, like, this is the first time they've had this since what, like, Aaron Brooks?
Literally.
And Aaron Brooks was like a way better scrambler, obviously, than Jameis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he was dangerous.
Yeah. But like, it just adds a kind of a new dimension to the offense where teams have been game planning against the Saints for years. I'm guessing probably like the same way, right?
Yeah.
Like they knew, but like now this kind of adds some like something new to it. Like it's like, okay, well, if we're in man coverage, because a lot of that happened on man coverage, you know, man coverage, third down, Jameis got a pocket. And if the receivers are like 10 yards down the field and the cornerbacks and the linebackers got their backs turned, bye, see ya. And it converted so many crucial third downs against the Packers.
Crucial, bro.
That led to points. So
if it's third and four, it's like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, why not if the pass ain't there? Why not?
I won't say it changes everything, but it adds a lot to the offense. And you saw how the perfect example, bro, that touchdown to Chris Hogan, and, you know, Troy did a good job, you know, explaining it. Like, the defender, because Jameis had done those scrambles three times or whatever in the game in the red zone, like, Jameis, he presses and he steps up, like, he may go forward and scramble to try to get it. And that completely, boom, bro. Like, that's what
it was amazing to see, because that's just an element that's never been there for the Saints since like Aaron Brooks, like, since those days. So it was just like, oh shit, okay. Like, that's something you really can't even like game plan for. It's just like, it's there, and it's just, you know, okay.
And that's a credit to him. You know, he is coming, you know, and Greg, you know, Greg Rosenthal from, you know, around the NFL podcast has brought this up numerous times. Like, he just came in like the best shape of his life, came in cut, trim, you know, and you see it. Like, I'm sorry, like, Tampa Bay Jameis, I don't know, Tampa Bay Jameis making at least as far as those runs went for first downs, bro. Like, Tampa Bay Jameis was probably be gassed like Pete.
Gas, looking goofy, like, just making goofy ass decisions. That'll be, you know, I'm interested to see, man, just how this whole thing plays out. As far as, like, I think coaching staff, you know, Joe Brady, another second year in the NFL. He's, you know, itching for that head coaching position.
Itching, bro.
So I know he won't show his ass, bro. He won't show his ass, you know. Him and Sean Payton got this kind of little thing going on behind the scenes. I don't know, man. I just feel like you got something cooked. I feel like you're cooking something. We'll see. Maybe it's just my mind, but I just feel like he wants to show something, like some kind of play that Sean Payton did. He wants to bring his version of it.
Yeah,
just stick it to him, you know.
I'm sure.
That's what Sean Payton would do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Without question, he would do it.
Like, I remember motherfucking Sean Payton throw a touchdown to a fullback against Dallas in 2006 because Big Tuna didn't want a fullback on the roster. You know what I'm saying? Like, just that petty shit. You know what I'm saying?
He is by far the pettiest coach and maybe all of sports, bro. Like,
he's petty.
I wish I could wax poetically about what the Saints should expect from defensive coordinator Phil Snow, but like, I don't know what Phil gonna cook up, bro. Like, I'm not about, bro. I got home at like 7:10, 720. Like, I'm not watching all 22. You know, from Panthers Jets to inform the listeners of what. Nah, bro, that's not gonna do it. I will say this though. I'll be interested to see, because you know you draft J.C. Horn, like, to me, like, that shows in theory like you want to play man coverage, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see when the Panthers on defense, how they defend the Saints. Are they trying to play them man to man? Are they going to try to play more zone? Because I don't know. Like, playing zone against the Sean Payton team just always just does not.
Yeah, man. I always wonder, like, why y'all doing that?
Like, please keep doing it, but also, like, why?
Like, why? Like, why y'all doing that? Sean Payton, eat that shit up, man.
Eat it up. And Marquette, like, we saw, like, last year against the Bears, like, Marquez Callaway, even as an undrafted free agent, found holes in the zones and all that. But I do think they will try to take some shots against this defense with Deontay Harris and with Kenny Stills. I do think Kenny will be elevated. I do think they'll take their shots. And if you're listening to this as a Saints fan, I'll say this. The keys of the game when the Saints are on offense, if you neutralize Brian Burns, you know, neutralize Hassan Reddick, like, you, the Saints would be giving themselves a good shot to win the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Anything else like around the league or anything? I'm for one glad that this game is at like a regular fucking time.
Oh, it's a noon game?
I believe so. I believe it is, yeah.
Okay. Thank God. Yeah, man, it's a regular noon game. Then week three, we play New England.
Yes.
Yeah, play New England and New England. Then we should be back home in the Superdome. So, it's a rough month for the Saints, man. Like, haven't been home yet. You know, bullshit with the coaches. Oh, that's another thing. Like, how does this whole offensive coaches, you know, if they miss the game, I know they could possibly come back. You need two consecutive days of a negative test.
Negative test, right.
To come back. But I was thinking about, like, one thing, like, especially on game day, just a lot of communication with those assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. Like, they spend a lot of time just, like, collecting information, like, formations and, you know, just all kind of information during the early part of the game to relay to Sean Payton, you know, to make decisions. So I'm interested, you know, if that has some effect. You know, I know people like to think, like, oh, assistant coaches, what do they do? They do a lot.
A lot, bro.
They do all the shit like that just people don't think about. So I don't know. It's just another story into the game. It's like, how does that affect them? So, I mean, we'll see.
Sean better call Travis up.
Yeah, get Trav in there, man. Trav. For real, man.
I'm just saying, like, get some help. But yeah, I mean, because it's such a kind of like a sneaky underrated thing that I'm pretty sure like not a lot of team, like, you know, fans or people like that don't even think about. I'm looking at the games of this coming weekend, bro. Like, this is the Saints and the Cardinals, the Saints and the Panthers is one of three games where teams are facing each other where they're both 1-0.
That's interesting.
It is. It's Saints, Panthers, Raiders, Steelers, and 49ers and Eagles.
Fucking Raiders, man. And who won the game tonight?
The football team.
Oh, they won?
Okay. Yeah, I heard it was one of the most, you know, crazy endings. You know how football is, bro. Like,
Giants, Giants 0-2?
0-2, bro.
Not over there, boy.
0-2, bro.
Judge. Damn dimes.
I'm just looking at the games this weekend, seeing if anything. Oh, yeah, so the Bucks play the Falcons. Oh, so they are playing an NFC South team. Whoops.
Oh, shit. They gonna smoke that defense, bro. Man, that defense is trash, man. Like, oh, like, man, I don't know, man. Like, I can't stand the Falcons, bro, but it's like, damn. It really shit, bro. Kyle Pitts ain't do nothing week one. It's like, I mean, I'm not saying that. That means absolutely nothing for his career, but it's just like that.
Bro, you drafted him fourth?
Fourth overall. I said sixth on Twitter. I meant fourth. Like, bro. Look, even Chase, you know, people talk shit about Chase all offseason. He made his name known week one.
Week one, out the gate, bro. Out the gate.
Telling me, and Matt Ryan loves his tight ends. Telling me, like, couldn't get that man some catches? Like, damn.
Arthur Smith already just confused. Game of the week, probably, though. Sunday Night Football. Got the Chiefs. Got the Ravens. Ravens going to go 0-2, bro.
Ravens not looking good to me, bro.
Nah, they not looking good, man. They do not.
They just had too many hits. Too many hits to talent, you know. Lamar is playing well, but it's like it's looking like all on him. I was thinking about it. You know, they've had Lamar for a couple of years now on a rookie contract, but it's like the roster doesn't seem that much improved. You know what I'm saying? Like, It's like, you know, that you like when you get a rookie quarterback that was like he was an MVP a couple of years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
And you can't really, like, you should be able to build like just a stupid good roster for those years, man, because you're not paying a quarterback, you know? And it seemed like they got some beat up roster now. I know they had injuries and shit, but I don't know. I'm looking for them. They have some talent, but I'm like, man, it's kind of like the Raiders matched their talent this week. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I didn't see a drastic disparity in terms of talent.
Right. It just looked like two kind of 8-8 win type teams battling each other. You know what I'm saying?
The Raiders are so, like, this is the same Raiders team that beat us week two last year, bro. Like, they are like a mad knee. Like, as a Raiders fan, and the fact that they haven't won a game, the fact that they have not had a winning season except one in 20 years, like, that stat.
That's crazy.
Blew me away, bro.
That's crazy.
In 20 years, they've had one winning season.
And their fans up in there wilding, like, couldn't tell them shit.
Bro, 2001, Ryan.
Golly.
Like, I was what, 13? Oh, bro. That's wild. I mean, it'll be, you know, when they're going against the Steelers, interesting game. Week two. Vikings at Arizona. If Kyler?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
If he continues to play this way and you know, Arizona wins and Minnesota looking at 0-2, speaking of hot places.
Oh, man. My man Zimmer on that hot seat?
Zimmer seems to me like he doesn't even want to be the coach of the Vikings anymore. And if he does, I don't think he wants Kirk Cousins to be his quarterback. Like, that's everything for, like, the last year and a half, 2 years. Like, he's old and crotchety, so he's just going to tell you how, like, he don't give two shits, bro.
You don't.
Like, I think if you could, if Zimmer felt that he could play Kellen Mond, like, yeah, he'd be fine.
He'd be completely fine with that.
But yeah, man, there's some interesting games. But the Saints are playing, you know, at noon, 10 o'clock my time. Best time, you know, for football
games. Knock that game out early. Rest of the day.
What rest of the day? We will be recapping the Saints-Panthers game probably like right during like Sunday Night Football, right when it starts, something around there. It will be posted Sunday night. And if you missed the last episode, if you are a Patreon, you get early access to the recap shows of all the games that we do. So you'll have it Sunday night. You can load it up, listen to it Sunday night before anyone. If you're not a Patreon, you just gotta wait till Monday whenever Ryan posts it in the morning. Like, it is what it is. We have to show love to the people that support us. There have been so many people recently becoming Patreons and supporting us, and it legitimately leaves me, you know, loss of words. I do want to give a shout out to Julio. I put a shout out to Twitter. I told him, bro, like, I'm going to shout you out on the pod. What you did for the podcast, you know, with the new season, Ryan and I can't thank you enough, man. Like, the generosity, like, we can't say enough. So much love for that. We appreciate it. We appreciate you, and thank you.
Yep. Much love, Julio. And all the patrons, man. Max, all y'all, man.
Everybody. All the OGs and the new ones, everyone. We appreciate it. Y'all. We do. With that, we're gonna get out of here. Enjoy the game on Sunday. You know, might not be a walk in the park, but enjoy the best you can. We'll be back Sunday night. With that, we're out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.